From the KOTK Newsroom, here's your Northwest update.
Good afternoon, I'm Tim Bradley. Newcomer Rachel Hurd-Wood beat out hundreds of young gals to play Wendy in the musical adventure Peter Pan. I spoke with her recently on how Wendy thinks about Peter.
She thinks he's amazing. Here's this child who has everything that she dreams of, freedom, eternal youthhood and everything. And she envies him, I think, in a way that he is still a child and doesn't have to face all the torment of being forced to grow up and everything. And I think, but she really loves him because of he's so youthful and everything.
The whole idea of watching this movie makes me want to stab out my eyes with knitting needles. I can't strap me to a chair and hit me repeatedly in the sack with a small hammer rather than making me watch this movie.
What is the story really about?
It's a Wendy and Peter story, really. Of course, there's other characters. I'm not saying it's just entirely those two, but of course, Hook comes into it very much. And that I think it's Peter realizing that there are good things other than being free and being a little boy, and it's Wendy's growing up and making that transition from being a little girl to being a teenager. Really.
Yeah, I can really hear that core audience of men 25 to 54 just sitting on the edge of their delivery truck seats with rapt anticipation about news about goddamn Peter Pan. Thanks. But while we're on this note, let me just say, here's, like, if you needed reasons not to see the Peter Pan film, apart from the fact that, you know, you're a guy, I can just tell you right now that they've got Peter Pan being played by a man, which, of course, we all know isn't the case. Peter Pan is supposed to be played by a woman for reasons that I don't really know. But that's just, am I right? That's how it's supposed to be, right? Peter Pan is always played by a girl.
It usually is.
And so they're breaking tradition. Why do I even know this? Let's pretend that I don't know any of this information.
These guys in delivery trucks want to know.
Let's pretend that I don't have any of this Peter Pan knowledge about that. Let's end this now.
Why don't you go see it? Or buy some Peter Pan peanut butter.
Or just kill yourself instead.
Yeah, it's going to rain this afternoon, Nancy and I. Highs tomorrow even more. We're in the 50s. Tim Bradley, KOTK News.
Rick Emerson, only from Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
By the way, if you ever want to know what radio is really like, it's worth noting, you hear this music bed here? This Information Society? It's a song called 100 Million Watts, I think, or 100 Million Watts of Love. Great song, right? You also hear this in a John and Jeff promo, right? Can you stop this and start it again? Let's go ahead and play this. John and Jeff. Only on... Did it sound familiar?
Weeknights at 10.
Weeknights at 10 on Hot Talk Today. You know why? It's because when I got fired the last time, it's like I hadn't even been fired 10 minutes and they were using all my music bed to promote other shows. You know what I mean? It's like I hadn't even been off the air 5 minutes. You hear this. Liz Wild. Every day at noon. Like I'm driving home from work with all my crap in a box, listening to KOTK. Be sure to listen to the best show you've ever heard, the Liz Wild program, every day between noon and 3, with a lot of familiar music beds that you've heard for a long time on the Rick Emerson Show. There you go. So there you go. That's if you want to want more reasons not to work in radio. That's radio in a nutshell there for you. Keep that one around. I keep that one around as a little reality check, you know? That's what I keep that music bed in there for. No, we love the Rick Emerson Show. We're enthused about the Rick Emerson brand. All right, it's 503-25. No, we see big things ahead for you and Tom Riley. We're big fans from way back. We feel that you and also your producer Mike and someone there. No, you're doing great things. We've been listening forever, for years. It's 503-250-1080 in Portland, or 1-800-727-5955. I had to frame one of my unemployment slips, you know, just keep it over my desk. That's what you should do. You know, if you work in today's economy, especially if you work in radio, just take one of your unemployment, one of your slips from when you're on the dole, and just frame it and just, like, keep it, like, with you at all. Just, like, laminate it and put it right above your desk. Old times. Let's see, 503-250-1080 in Portland. Rick, my son's name is Tabor, T-A-B-E-R. Is he to be laid or not to be laid? Thank you, Greg. Let's just talk about men for a moment. And just talk about the difference between men and women. You know, this is a thing that women would never care about. A woman would never email and go, I named my daughter Starsha. Is she ever going to get laid? And it's like women, Because it's like not even an issue. It doesn't matter. You know, can I just tell you this? If you're a woman, you don't even need to have a name. You really don't. It's like we're not going to remember it anyway, you know? At least not all of it. We'll remember maybe the first part, you know, for a while. But it's like, a year later, we're not going to know. You know, it's like, what was her name? I don't know, man, but she had huge knockers. You know, that's all. That's, you know, you might as well just call yourself, you know, you might as well just call yourself 34C or something, because that's what your name is. You know what I'm saying? But at least I'm not as bad as my friend Rob. My friend Rob tells this great story about meets the girl, goes back to her place, great old time. It's like 2 in the morning. He's doing that thing of like tiptoeing out of bed, you know, just, you know, getting out of the bed, tiptoeing across, finds her purse, grabs the purse, rolls into the bathroom with the purse, turns to like, Sandra. Sandra Jenkins. Okay. You know, oh, that was great last night, Rob. That was great, too, Sandra Jenkins of 3420 Rosewood Place. Boy, am I glad that I met you, Sandra. Anyway, what was I talking about? Son's name, Tabor. Yeah, sure, because it sounds like he's rich. You know, you name your kid Tabor, it sounds like he's got, like, a trust fund or something.
Well, I mean, he can go by Tay.
Yeah, Tay. We met a guy named Tay. One of our man nights, on our poker night, there was a guy named Tay. Of course, he's black. When you're black, you can just get away with calling yourself anything. You know what I mean? Because it all sounds cool. You know, I think it was Tay, but it was like T-E, you know, with like an accent mark over it. You know? It would never work on me. Tay would just sound like my parents were stoned and forgot to finish naming me. You know? What's his name? Ray? You know? Would sound like my parents just got distracted halfway through by the, you know, my parents were all skunk-weeded out of their brain and just, what you name him? You know, just lapsed off into a coma or something. Oh, by the way, Pork Chop Express, apparently that's Kurt Russell's code name from Big Trouble in Little China. I know that I probably shouldn't know that. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show our good friend Jolie from the front desk. Another exciting edition of How Chicks Think. What's up with you, sister?
Bones dying from all those donuts out there.
Yeah, okay, yeah. I'm sure that some guy in a third world country is hard to bleed for you right now. Okay.
So.
Yes.
Oh, I guess you want me to ask
you. I know you have a thing for us, and I know you have something you want to ask us.
Well, your conversations have just, you know, really make my question today, because, basically, I'm really fed up, you know? It's like, people come in, it's not just here, it's at my other work, it's... Well, mainly I think here and there are more male-dominated audience, or whatever.
What are you talking about?
I'm trying to get my question, okay?
You've done a great job.
It's Monday, for
God's sake. What do you want to know? Just ask!
The question is, why... It doesn't matter what we're talking about, no matter what, and it's happened... just recently a lot, which has made me want to ask the question, why does every conversation that you have to somehow move into sex?
You mean...
Not always, I mean, occasionally it's been about me.
Are you asking, a couple times. Do you mean me specifically, or me,
no,
like
not
us
just,
men?
Well,
like we
you,
as men.
You did that today, but no, men in general. It's like, you know, we're talking about something, just, you know, something in general, and all of a sudden, it comes to sex. Not all, you know, like I said, not always about me, but a lot of times about, I don't know, it's like this hot actress, and you go on and on about how hot she is and how naughty she is in this movie or what have you, and I'm like...
Well,
you know,
what are we going to do, sit and talk about our feelings?
Well, I don't know, I really don't want to hear you talking about this, and because when I hear you talk about it, it makes me think about you thinking about that, and I really don't want to think about that.
God gave you hands, you don't have to listen?
Rick, I'm polite. I have to, you know... I'm not like
don't,
that.
Don't ask what we're thinking if you don't want to know the
answer. Seriously,
I didn't even ask you. That's the point. It's just like I'm sitting there having a conversation with you. Nice, you know, conversation. And somehow you veer off up here and, oh, you know, it just has to go to the sex
now,
thing.
Now, again, are you talking about us or are you talking about us as men or
men
us as
in general? Men in general. Because, you know, at my other work, all right, we're listening on the headphones. We have to do that. And whatever. The dancers come out. Something happens. And
what?
It's just like...
Dancers coming, all the blazers.
Sex, boob stomachs, I want to do this, you know, and it's like, I don't want to hear that. And you know what? You really need to know this, that it is, it makes you look like even more of a whore. You know, because I know that you think about that, like, every 5 seconds of the day, but to actually then come out in a conversation where it's just me and you have to actually talk about it, It just makes
you
look.
Idea what she's talking
it's
about.
A huge turnoff. It is a huge turnoff.
I quit listening. I quit listening.
Stop, Rick. Come on. This is important stuff. I answer your questions. You need to sit and listen and answer mine.
What's the question? No,
suck.
No, so your question is, why do conversations with men eventually turn into conversations with sex about sex?
Yeah.
Because they want to sleep with you. There you go. Now, hold on.
Okay.
Note that you did not ask me to give you an answer you would like, and you did not say give me an answer that will please me. You said what is the reason? I have just told you the reason. Now, if you want to sit over there and just shriek, you know, like a bad steam kettle, because it's not an answer that you like, that's a whole separate issue you're talking about there. That is the reason.
Look,
because
no, it isn't.
What you friggin' ask me for? If you're not going to accept the answer,
see, Rick, it's conversation. We have to discuss this. You discuss my answers with me all the time, and you tell me I'm wrong.
I discuss shoving this pen
which
in my
I know.
Eye.
I'll do that for you.
Here's the thing.
Gladly.
Here's why. Because guys, because by dint of the fact that men are... Here's the thing. It's because guys just can't come out and go, look, I got a penis and you got a vagina. And, you know, come on. We all know where this is going. Can we just, you know... And anyway, so we can't do that, though. Guys can't just go, look, I skate, you skate. Let's get together and make a skating team, you know, or whatever. They can't just come out and ask, right? So guys have got to sort of, they've got to pussyfoot around, you know. They've got to jump, they've got to get there through the, everything I say, I was going to say back through the back door. But they've got to, you know what I mean? They've got to soft sell it, you know?
But that, I just have
and to... so, but the preferred male method for soft selling is to go, you know, is to try to, like, inject sexual content into a conversation, because then they're hoping then that you'll pick it up and you'll sort of pick it up and run with it, because then that indicates that you're in the same frame of mind, and then they know it's a, you know what it is?
Oh,
it's a,
man.
You know what it is? It's a subtle subconscious indicator of whether or not you're in a sexual state of mind, so they can pursue it and maybe get a little something. Look,
yeah,
I'll give you an example. So if a guy's going, boy, boy, I was watching the Bulls play last night, and boy, it reminded me of humping, you know, or whatever, you know, whatever. If a guy injects something in, you know, and you go, yeah, that's really true. I've always thought that basketball was really phallic too. Then it's like the guy's like, okay, ba bing, she's thinking, she's in a sexual state of mind. I could, but if a guy says, so I was waxing my car last night and adjusting my stick shift, and you're like, is there any spaghetti? You know, and then it's like he knows that you're just totally not in the right state of mind and he can just cut his losses.
I don't know, Rick. I'm telling you, that's just not the way to go about it. Because every time that happens, I get turned off. I'm just thinking, ooh,
But I'm saying, if you want to know why, that's why men do it. Men inject sexual content into conversations because it's a way to see if you are feeling the same thing. If it's a way to see if you're interested.
Well, I don't like that idea, though.
Well, I'm sorry. You know, I don't like smog, but it's, you know, but it exists.
But
what are you gonna do?
But I'm here to tell you, you know, that's my job. That's not gonna work.
I think if it didn't work, guys wouldn't do it. I think guys do it because it doesn't work for me, Rick. Can I just tell you this? I have my friend, my friend Rob, all roads go to Rob. He's just the sleaziest guy. But it's just great in that way that's just incredibly fascinating to watch. But my friend Rob used to do this thing where he had this theory that if you subliminally injected sex into a conversation, that you could get women to be turned on even if they weren't before. And so he had this whole method he would use, where like these little phrases he would use that like were supposed to supposed to subliminally, unconsciously make you aroused. And so it's like he would use words that, depending on what frame of mind you're in, could sound like two different things. And so like he would use the words new. And he's talking about, you know, and direction. And he'd say, so, you know, so I'm really doing some different things in my work lately, and they've promoted me. I'm in a different department now. They gave me a little more money, and I've got hiring and firing. And so I'm really excited about my new direction. And, you know, and it's like, he totally had this theory that women would be like, that they would hear nude erection, you know, and that they would totally be like, yes, I'm excited about your new direction as well.
Oh, God.
He was the best. I don't make him like Rob anymore. Let's talk to Ron and Sherwood. You're on Hot Talk to 90K. What's up?
Hey,
Hey, I'm just calling to talk with Jolie about what something she said last week.
Yes.
Last week?
Bring it on.
She said that men were afraid to stand up for themselves.
Yeah, pretty much.
Oh, okay. Well,
nobody's gone to HR here.
Yeah, HR. Well, that's the whole difference between the reality of life and HR. There's a big difference. I started a new company and a new drive called, like, Politically Erect instead of Kerect.
Yeah.
So we've got a new T-shirt line coming out that's going to be covered with penises in different shapes and designs. And I've got a couple girls that are painting their breasts and putting them on T-shirts. And the company's going to be Octees. And it's because of your passion and shrill shrieking that is...
She's inspired you. She's inspired you to create a whole new line of clothing.
I have?
Absolutely.
Oh, I am honored.
For your passion.
Are you going to bring us some swag?
Oh, dude, absolutely. Excellent. We'll be sponsoring the F-Mat.
That's what I'm talking about.
No penises or breasts on my shirt, please.
Okay, well, you just want big penises?
No penises and no breasts.
Oh, well, you can't have a T-shirt.
This is the weirdest conversation. All right, well, give us details as you get closer to it.
Absolutely.
Right, I'm glad I could be of help.
Yeah, all right. So anyway, so there's the answer to your question.
Well, thanks, Rick. You've really helped.
I try to help. There you go. There's Jolie from the front. All right, we got more on the way. We'll be back. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Stay there on Hot Talk 1080. KOTK. New Direction.
Rick Emerson. Only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
All right.
So was that new direction thing ever proven to work?
I don't know. Who knows? I have no. I was too embarrassed. I don't want to know any more about that.
Because
it's just
clever.
Because it's just ridiculous. Yeah, but it's just. But it's like how pathetic. I mean, it's it's just the thing is, guys are just so ridiculous. I mean, and I say that as a man, it's just so embarrassing to be a guy sometimes. Just the hoops and the we will jump through the hurdles that we will jump through. It's like playing.
You guys are simple-minded folk.
Yeah, but it's like, that's the thing, that's the irony, though, is it's like, think about all the huge, complicated machinations we will go through for such a simple goal. You know what I mean? It's like that mousetrap game you play when you're a kid. You know, where you got to set up the thing that falls, and then there's a bucket, and then there's a ball that goes down a thing, and then it trips another. Do you even know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
You know mousetrap, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's what the whole thing is. It's like mousetrap, but it's like the whole, it's like just this one, male sexual drive is just one big Rube Goldberg invention. You know, it's like that huge thing Pee-wee has set up to make breakfast for him in the beginning of the movie. It's just a big... Never mind. Here's Sarah.
Yeah.
Call now to join us. 503-250-1080 or 1-800-727-5955. Rick Emerson, only from Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
We'll do that when we take it to Broadway. Yeah. It's the Rick Emerson Show right here on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK. We're here with Sarah Dillon and Matt Peterson, Tim Riley. What are you shaking your head at? Are you upset at the new direction that the show is...
I'm not even going to repeat what you were saying at break.
No, somebody emailed... This guy Gerald emailed me and said... I don't know if... Yeah, presumably. I'm presuming that he's... Presumably? Is that a word? No. Well, I suppose it is, but not the way I'm using it. Anyway, oh, we just got this one. Jolie makes my skin hurt. Gerald says, will you be having pyrotechnics at Bigger Than Jesus, and do I need to bring a blood bib? That's like the blood bib is like a Gallagher, when you bring the things to Sledge-O-Matic. But we had to, can I just tell you this, though, that we, as part of doing Bigger Than Jesus, we had to, because we're at the Imago Theater, it's like a real theater, we had to get this whole insurance rider, it's like in case that, in case we'd go out Great White style, and, anyway.
How did the live album go?
I was just saying that I was talking to Aaron last night. I was just saying that this is, it's like a South Park joke just waiting to happen, Here, Great White live. Ah! Ah!
5, 4, 3, 2.
Come on.
1.
That's
fire.
Funny. Trey and Matt, feel free to take that joke. Trey Parker, Max Ring, have that joke for another.
Counting is wonderful. Counting is marvelous. Counting's the best thing.
Yeah, there will be no pyrotechnics at the Bigger
Than Jesus. Counting is happiness. Counting is ecstasy.
I love to count, don't you? Bum, 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 bum. Oh, by the way, speaking of which, before we read the top five here, I got to read this. This is actually, speaking of all things bigger than Jesus, this is from Joni DeRoshi, who's the director. And also, this is, I got an email here. It says, Rick, I've been trying to come up with a way to make our opening night Friday a little more special. Give it the little extra something. So that's here's what I came up with. As a way to, and I'm reading this now, this is from, this is, I've just got this in my inbox. As a way to show our appreciation to the folks who are coming out to support us during our re-entry with Bigger Than Jesus, the special edition. Yeah, now with more Jabba. We've replaced all the guns with cans of Aquanet in this version of Bigger Than Jesus. So as a way to show support to people who are coming out to support us during our re-entry with the Bigger Than Jesus special edition, this Friday only, opening night only, the first 20 people through the door get, in addition to a fabulous night of entertainment, a commemorative audio CD of some of the best moments from the first performance in June. It's like a highlights reel. Some of the best highlights and audio clips and whatnot. She says, your listeners have been great and supportive. I know many of them are coming again, having seen it in June, so I wanted to give a little something back. So there you go, Joni. So the first 20 people, that is this Friday only, by the way. Opening night only. First 20 people there get a commemorative CD of the best moments from the first performance. Sort of a highlights reel. Oh, we want to thank the WB, by the way. Our pals Nate and John, especially the WB, for getting us the hookup, helping us with some of the technical issues there for Friday's performance. WB, home of what? The Surreal Life.
The Surreal Life, yeah.
With Tammy Baker and Ron Jeremy. So we'll,
Smallville.
And Smallville. And Gilmore Girls, which I'm woefully behind on following. Great White Live! Ah! All right, there you go. Here's Tim Riley.
And as America seeks distraction from crippling employment woes, who was, and massive unemployment, what better opiate than amazingly overpriced movies and $10 sodas? Yes, it's a record-breaking down at the box office. So, let's take a closer look at these, the top five movies at the box office this past weekend. With honorable mention, with $7.8 million, My Baby's Daddy.
Doesn't My Baby's Daddy sound like a Saturday Night Live parody of a film that would be at the theater near you?
Yeah, I saw one preview for it, and it looks like the most awful thing ever.
Well, it just, I mean...
It has talking babies.
And it's like My Baby's Daddy. Is it like some movie about zany black guys that impregnate women or something? Because that's what
And then they like watch the children, and the children can talk too, which is great.
And
you
I heard,
see like the computer has mouths on them.
Because I heard it's like three guys that impregnate their girlfriends all at once, right? What is it? Just like I don't know. What do they have? Like a big.
Let's embrace single.
Do they
parenting.
Have a big bag of stereotypes they just reach into? It's like it's like bad, you know, like. I don't know, we've reached a point where it's like American entertainment is also like bad, you know, refrigerator magnet poetry. Let's find some lowest common denominator stereotypes of black men. There you go, single black men impregnating women. That's a great movie. Nobody's done that before. My Baby's Dad, it's talking babies. Talking babies will make even the best movie terrible.
You know,
bad.
I saw one preview with the talking babies, and the next one I saw, it looks like they took that out of the trailer. So
talking babies, that's what'll be set on fire. Right.
Number five with $7.9 million, Cold Mountain.
Cold Mountain, which is a war movie with Renee Zellweger and Nicole Kidman. Renee Zellweger doesn't get nude, and I don't know if there's a lot of fighting going on, so there's probably nothing there to see.
Number four with $8.2 million, Something's Gotta Give.
Something's Gotta Give, the big selling point of which is that Diane Keaton nudes up and, I don't know, humps it out with Jack Nicholson.
Yeah.
Like two polar bears in a, you know, it's like two polar bears in a twin bed. You know, just... okay.
And at number three, you went $12 million cheaper by the dozen.
Cheaper by the dozen. And the Hillary Duff thing, by the way, I was thinking about this the other day because I think I told you that when I was in New York, there's this huge billboard, like a whole city block for cheaper by the dozen. And the billboard turned a corner at one point. And the corner piece was just Hillary Duff, and they'd obviously planned it that way because she's the centerpiece of the billboard. And, you know, the thing about the Hillary Duff thing is I've gotten past the fact that we're all hot for Hillary Duff even though she's like 9. I mean, it's just, you know, what are you going to do? I've kind of gotten to the point where it's like, it's not my fault, you know? It is not my fault.
They're selling her to you that way.
That's the creepy thing. See, that's the creepy thing is there's some white guys, there's some aged, paunchy white men sitting around a table going, yeah, that Hillary Duff, can you get her to wear those jeans a little lower? Yeah, that's what I like. You know, and it's like, I can hardly be faulted at this point for being all hot for Hillary Duff, because that's what they're doing, man. It's like, you know, so I'm zen with it. I'm okay with it.
Number two, with 14.1 million, Lord of the Rings, The Return of the King.
Lord of the Rings, Return of the King, which I got it actually on DVD in New York. They were selling these bootlegs of it, and I got it, and it's like, it's terrible. It's like the worst, like a guy in the back with a handy cam, and like as soon as it goes to the closing credits, like you see people starting to stand up and like stretch, like blocking the view of the camera and whatnot. It's pretty much only, it's only usable if you've seen the movie a couple times to kind of know what's happening on the screen, but boy, just what I mean, that's the thing. I'm already planning with people when that comes out on DVD to sit down and do like a 15-hour marathon of all three director's cuts back to back. Yeah. I'm totally going to be, you know, you just bought yourself some Depends and a pizza. You just sit down and prepare to wallow in the geek. You know what I'm saying?
That sounds like my personal hell.
Yeah.
15 hours of that? Oh.
See, the thing is, when we die, we're going to go to each other's worlds as punishment. Because I'll go to your world where it's just endless reruns of The Simple Life, you know, and like...
90210.
Yeah, 90210. And you'll go over here where it's just like Star Trek crap happening on the...
And at number one, with 14.5 million, Big Fish.
Big Fish, apparently Tim Burton's big comeback movie. It's got Billy Crudup, it's got Ewan McGregor, it's got Albert Finney, and again, Tim Burton, who's been on a slump. He reached kind of his creative nadir with that hideous Planet of the Apes. I mean, that guy had like 2-3 bad movies in a row. So it's good to see Tim Burton making a comeback there. Apparently, it's Lara thought she loved it.
Yeah, I'm going to go see it tonight.
Yeah, it's got pretty... Where you are. So it's got pretty good reviews. So anyway, so there you go. There's your top five. Back to wrap it up after this. It's Rick Emerson Show. Stay there.
Rick Emerson. Only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
Rick Emerson, only from Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
All right, it's 503-250-1080 in Portland at 1-800-727-5955. We enter the saddest part of the broadcasting day. Final segment of the Rick Emerson Show. We got Like Us up next, world famous Phil Hendry Show at 7. Don't forget tomorrow. Now I've forgotten. Don't forget that tomorrow there's things.
White Lewis?
Any of which are. Yeah, I guess. And then Jen Lane is when? Thursday? I don't know what I'm talking about. Tomorrow we'll do some stuff, and then I'll yell about something, and then I'll say, you know, a lot. And then there'll be a whole lot of moments of me saying, I'm just saying. And then we'll play some music, and then we'll have that stupid I'm loving it jingle like 5 or 10,000 times. And then I'll go home. All right, let's talk to Bob in Beaverton. You're on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK. What's up?
Hey, Rick. I had that skin-wasting disease that you talked about earlier.
Skin-wasting disease. Skin-wasting. What a great name that is. Okay, so what about it?
Well, when I was 6 years old, I had a drug reaction to another drug called Sulfa. Mm-hmm. And basically, same thing exactly happened. It's called toxic epidermal necrosis. I'm not sure if I mentioned that in the article or not.
Yeah, that means your skin's just dead, falling off.
Well, yeah, it starts out with like blisters all over the body, and then after that, my skin just started coming off in sheets.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Very exciting.
Yeah, and you were how old?
I was 6. I was actually the first person to live through that. It was,
damn.
Yeah, everybody else died from it.
And so, you made it through. You were probably in a chair or something for a while, though.
Yeah, I was, 6 weeks in the hospital in the burn unit, and then I was blind and in a wheelchair for about a year.
And are you blind now?
Actually, I'm still blind in one eye.
All right.
And my other eye, I see well enough, you know, to drive and everything.
Yeah.
At least to drive well enough in Portland, anyway.
Are you prompted to, like, check your skin every now and again just to, like, tug on it to make sure it's still attached? I mean, every once in a while, just hold on, let me... No, we're still good.
No, and the way people die from it is when the reaction stops. If it stops before the last layer of your skin falls off, then you live, basically. But if it keeps going until every single layer is gone, it's like 17 layers of the skin or something like that.
It's kind of like waiting for a fire to get closer to your house. You just watch it taking out one row of suburban condominiums after another, hoping it stops before it gets to you.
Yeah, pretty much, except for, at that point I lost my sight because the corneas just slide right off my eyes.
Ah, Jesus God.
And my lung collapsed because it unraveled. One of my lungs collapsed.
It unraveled?
It's
made out of yarn?
It's all wound together, like, you know, wound together skin is basically what it is, and it just started unraveling and it collapsed. My other lung actually stayed inflated, though.
Yeah,
that's
messed up. There's no
words. I know. But
well, congratulations.
Long time to get better, and with a lot of good drugs, I feel pretty good today.
Yeah, congratulations on not dying at all. It's pretty amazing. Well, congratulations on pulling through. See, once you pulled through, you gave others the strength to do it. It's like that guy who did the 4-minute mile. You know what I mean? All right, Bob. There you go. That's Bob in Beaverton. Excellent. All right, there you go. Bob, a role model for all of us. Jesus. Well, that's unpleasant. You've got what we call unraveling syndrome. Let's see, we got this. Rick, that woman you were talking about with the lack of skin, that syndrome doesn't really sound funny, but here are some actual syndrome names that do sound funny. Okay, so a guy has just, these are all real, apparently. A guy has sent us all a list of syndromes. Yeah, the woman you were talking about had toxic toxic epidermal necrolysis syndrome. That syndrome doesn't sound funny. Here are some actual syndrome names that do. Restless leg syndrome. Pelvic congestion syndrome. Stiff man syndrome. Prune belly syndrome. Blue rubber bleb neves syndrome. And last but not least, floppy baby syndrome. Yeah, floppy babies, all right, never mind. Clyde and I had this doll we wanted to make called Baby Shake Me, and it was like, it was a baby that would just cry until you gave it a good shake, and then it would be quiet. It's Baby Shake Me! Shut up! And then it would just be silent. All right, it's 503-250-1080 in Portland, or 1-800-727-5955. All right, so no time to do anything else here, really. We got Likas at 3. We got World Famous Phil Hendry Show at 7 tomorrow. Clyde Lewis will be here with news of Ground Zero, as well as another top 5. More Jolie from the front desk and all that. I got news. We didn't get to it today. We have Die Hard news we're going to get to tomorrow as well. You already know what it is, right? What possible Die Hard news? What are they? Die Hard news. Newsflash. Bruce Willis realizes it's a mistake to do Die Hard 4. Vows to never again sully the franchise of a one-hit film. No. You know that's not the news. You know it's nothing good. We'll get to that. We want to thank CNN Radio correspondent Jim Roop, Ozzy, Jim Carrey, Jermaine Jackson, Tito, Ron Suskin, Charlie Sheen, John Cryer, Mark Helgenberger, Matthew Perry, Mel Gibson, Ben Stiller, Ewan McGregor, Rachel Hurdwood, Bob, the unraveling skin guy, and Jolie from the front desk. All right, it's 503-250-1080 in Portland. Don't forget tickets for Bigger Than Jesus, which opens this Friday on sale right now, 24/7 at rickemerson.com. The Rick Emerson Show is produced today and every day by the lovely Sarah Dillon for Hot Talk 1080 KOTK. In the newsroom, Tim Riley, executive producer 1F Matt Peterson. As always, don't let the bastards grind it down. We'll see you tomorrow at noon. See y'all. Be safe. Bye.
From Portland, it's Rick Emerson, only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.